All right. The passage that the book that Pastor Dave gave to me was Jude. And that is probably a book that is so full of meat, it's like a Texas barbecue. Or like a burrito at Sweet Chayote Kitchen. We'll start off with Jude, a son, a servant of Jesus Christ, and a brother of James. To those who are called and are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Jude was one of the half-brothers of Jesus. There was James, who also wrote an epistle. They were half-brothers, along with Simon, Joseph, and in Matthew, he talks about two sisters also. They did not believe he was the Savior when he was with them. They thought he was delusional. And they didn't realize it until he rose from the dead. And Jude does not call himself a brother. He calls himself a servant or even a bondslave of Jesus because he realized who Jesus was. The family at the time after Jesus rose was held in such high regard. And Jude and James did not want that high regard. They kept a low profile. They just wanted to be bondservants of Jesus. And he goes on, he says, to those who were called by the love of God and kept by Jesus Christ. It is by God's love that we are his, that we are saved by him. Jesus did the ultimate sacrifice. He took the sins of the whole world from beginning to very end, sins that haven't even committed yet, and took them on him on the cross and took them and bore them for us. That was the love he had. He says in Hebrews that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. It was such a shameful thing to be nailed nakedly to the cross. But he did it for us, for every one of us out there. He did it because he wants us to be with him for eternity. He preserves us. He says, mercy and peace and love be yours in abundance. God gives us grace. He gives us grace. It's God's redemption at Christ's expense. But the mercy is we don't have to pay it back. We don't have to pay it back. And with that, he's given us peace. The peace that I don't have right now. But he's given us peace in the storms of life. The storms that we all are going through at the moment. And if you aren't going through one, you will. He gives us peace to know that he is with us. His love is with us. The salvation that he died for us is with us. That's his love. He gives it to us in abundance. And I just can't think of anything more amazing, more spectacular. I am so unworthy to receive his grace and his love. But he did it for us. He goes on, he says, dear friends, though I am eager to write you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith once for all entrusted to the saints. We are to contend for the faith. We contend every day by our walk, by what we do, by what we say, by just how we act. The very being that we are, we contend for the faith. Sometimes we do it with just our actions. Sometimes we do it with just a kind word. Sometimes we have to proclaim his word to people who just are not going to listen. That is our faith, and it's entrusted to all of us, as saints, every one of us, the saints who've accepted Jesus Christ in our heart, who have accepted him as our Savior. For certain men whose condemnation was written long ago has slipped among you. They're godless men who changed the grace of our God into license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only Savior and Lord. We all have watched people who will deny the deity of Christ. We have pastors that will deny the deity of Christ, that deny the salvation, deny his resurrection, and they're in our pulpits. They are the godless one who snuck in. As Dr. McGee says, they've come in through the side door. The godless men who proclaim themselves to be God, proclaim themselves to be, I'm a God, I can do whatever I want. We are given license to live. We are given license to live. But through Jesus Christ, we don't do everything that we want to do. There are certain things we should not do. And Scripture, 1 Corinthians speaks about that in the love feasts, in the freedom that we're given. We're given abundant freedom, but we don't use that freedom as a license to sin. That is a blasphemy of God. That is not something that brings light on God. That is not something that gives glory to God. Our job, our daily moment job, is to give glory to God. Amen. And it says that in verse 5, though we already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt and later destroyed those who did not believe. They 12 spies were sent into Canaan, and only two came back with a positive. The land was so full of fruit and vegetables, and just it was so rich and lush. It was a land of milk and honey, as they had been told. But 10 of the spies came back and said, we can't go in. It's filled with giants. They will destroy us. But Caleb and Joshua, they said, God gave it to us. That is ours to take. We need to go in and take it. It is ours. They were the only two out of that generation that went into that promised land, the went into the land of Canaan. The rest, they spent 38 years in the desert, and every single one of that generation died. The next generation is the one that went into the promised land, and that's also something we need to do. With the children coming up, Israel, all the other, our children, we need to put them into the promised land. We need to teach them the word of God. We need to instill it in their hearts, show them by our actions, by our words, by the way we just deal with everything that we do. Teach them that they're for the promised land. They're God's creation. And then he talks about that the angels who did not keep their position of authority but abandoned their home, they're kept in everlasting darkness, bound with everlasting chains for the judgment of the great day. These were angels that were up in heaven with God. They were celestial beings who just went with Satan. That confounds me. You're with God, and yet you go with a created being. If they're going to do that, We will see people here who do that. That one still confounds me. I still don't get that. On similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. We are seeing that today. The way schools are being taught, the way the stuff that's being taught in our schools, the celebration of lifestyles, blasphemous lifestyles that are being celebrated today. It's sad to watch. And our children are being taught that lifestyle is okay if you want to live that lifestyle, but it brings death. In verse 8, it says, in the same way, these dreamers polluted their own bodies, rejecting authority, slandered celestial beings. We're seeing that today. It's in San Francisco, New York, Portland, Seattle. They're rejecting authority. The police are being attacked in such a way that has never been seen in this country before. I come from a public safety background, and it's astounding how you have people who put their lives on the line, and yet they're being attacked. They're being disrespected in such a way. They're here to protect us, and yet people are treating them so poorly. It says that even Michael the archangel, when he was disputing with the devil over the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against what they do not understand. And what things they do understand by instinct are like unreasoning animals. These are the very things that destroy them. We see where Michael the archangel was disputing with the body of Moses, and he didn't say, "I rebuke you." He said, "The Lord rebuke you." Because even though Satan was a created being, he had a high level of the archangels. And I was listening to Dr. McGee, and he said Michael was respecting his position as an angel, even though he had turned against God. He may have disagreed with him, but he respected his position as an archangel. But he said, "The Lord rebuke you." And that sets an example for us. And we see him where the men speak abusively against what they do not understand. People don't understand salvation. People don't understand a lot of what the Lord has taught. But if you stay in the scripture and you read it daily, you will learn. God will give you the understanding. God will give you the grace and the mercy to understand his word. And the scripture teaches itself. The Old Testament works with the New Testament. They're intertwined. That is the beauty, the magic of the God-inspired word of God. They speak against things they do not understand, and what they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning beasts, they are the very things that destroy them. I've watched where people they don't understand what they're doing, but they continually to run headlong into the destruction of their lives. We look at adultery that goes on. It's wrong. You're married to an individual. You're married to a husband or a wife. You were to be with that person. You made a commitment. And yet, your eyes get turned. You know it's wrong, but yet you run headlong into it. And you end up destroying more than just a marriage, but you destroy families. You destroy people around you. And for all of us married people, your spouse is number two. God is number one. Your spouse is number two. And sometimes it's very hard because sometimes we don't do that. But we have to make a conscious effort every day. It says, "Woe to them, those who have taken the way of Canaan, or the way of Cain, and rushed into profit, into Balaam's error. They are destroyed by Korah's rebellion." Cain was a religious man, but not a godly man. He was supposed to give a sacrifice, but he didn't give the best. Weird to give the best. His brother gave the best, and in doing so, Cain killed Abel, because God didn't accept Cain's sacrifice, but he accepted Abel's. And his heart became proud, became arrogant, and why didn't you accept it? So he killed his brother, and God spoke to him and said, "The blood is now on you." Rush into Balaam's prophet. Balaam was a prophet of God. He had a gift from God, but yet he sold that gift for money. He sold it for position. We are all giving gifts. God has given us gifts, one, two, or multiple gifts. We're to use that for God's glory, not to run out and use God's word to sell books, to sell tapes, and get rich, not to sell our talents for personal gain. We can receive gain for our talents. Scripture talks about, in the Old Testament, talks about if you are a craftsman and you are good at what you do, you will serve kings, you will serve the wealthy, your talents will be brought up high. And if you work and you do it faithfully to God, you will be risen to a level that is beyond what you can imagine. But that's a gift of God that He has given you, and you're to use it to glorify Him. And in Korah's rebellion, Korah rebelled against Moses, and in doing so, he was destroyed, because Moses was the leader, the God-appointed leader, and Korah thought he could do better, but he wasn't the appointed one. So God, I believe the ground just sucked him and his whole family up. For one man's sin, his whole family suffered. It says, these men are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars whose blackest darkness have been kept reserved for later, forever. These men would show up at love feasts, and they would just show up. They wouldn't give. They would just eat. They would drink. They would get drunk. 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 7, talks about how they would just show up, eat, get drunk, carouse, start causing sin, start causing fights. And they had no qualm about that whatsoever. That's just what they did. They were so impure in themselves. The shepherds who only feed themselves. Jesus is our shepherd. He died for his flock. That's what the good shepherd does. And he says, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd feeds the flock first, and then he eats. In our household, we feed the kids first, and then we eat. It's when we were low with money. When we had money, we fed the kids, and then we ate with them. That was a blessing. That was a true blessing. Just being able to just eat with your family, which is something I encourage. Instead of sitting in front of the TV or the videos, put the phones away. Hide the phone. Don't answer the phone. And have dinner with your family. Talk about your day. Talk about what's going on. Bring out the Word of God at the end. That's where the teaching begins. Enoch, seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone, to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly acts they have done with ungodly ways, and of harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These men are grumblers, fault finders. They find their own evil desires. They boast about them, and they flatter others for their advantage. Four times ungodly is mentioned just on these men. And we all know these kind of people. Sometimes we've been those kind of people. But by Christ, we can get rid of those ungodly ways and become a servant of Christ. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own godly, ungodly ways. These are men who divide you, who follow mere natural instinct and do not have the Spirit. We're watching that now. We're watching it in our political realm. We're watching it in our cities. We're watching it in our churches. We were in a church where people were divided, and that really just tears down a fellowship. A fellowship has to be united. It cannot be divided like that. We're a family. Every one of you here, we are family. When Gabrielle and I started with this church, after about a month, we both looked at each other. We said, this is our family. This is our spiritual home. That is one thing I thank everyone here for. You are our family. Can I get an amen? Amen. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire. Save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the very clothes stained by corrupt flesh. He is calling us to go out and bring people to God. And finally, to him who is able to keep you from falling, to the present, before the glorious present, without fault, with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before the ages, for now and evermore. Amen.